All right, good morning, good morning. Who knew that which Spider-Man is the best would generate so much discussion? And I'm glad you all kept it calm and civilized, because in first service, we had some heated arguments about who the best Spider-Man was. Good morning, welcome to Faith. My name is Laura, and I'm the children's pastor here at Faith. And if you're joining us for the first time or haven't been around for the summer, we've been working our way through a series called Summer at the Movies. We've looked at Dark Phoenix, Toy Story 4, Yesterday, and we've kind of looked at them and examined what issues come about when watching these films. And then we look at the Bible, and we see what the Bible has to say about these certain issues. Because here at Faith, we think the Bible's really important. And so we spend time studying it and discussing it and learning it so we can do our best to get it right. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I love going to the movies. I love movie popcorn. I love the big screen. I love that movies make us laugh. They make us cry. They make us feel all the feels. And if I'm being totally honest, I like the movies for the previews. Because if the movie I'm going to see is awful, at least I know I have something coming down the line later that'll be good, right? So when Pastor Mike approached me and said, hey, what do you think about speaking during Summer at the Movies? I was really excited because I love movies and I love Spider-Man and I'm a big Marvel fan. But in the interest of full disclosure, when you have a 14-year-old daughter who is a huge Tom Holland fan, that's the actor that plays Spider-Man, you jump at the opportunity to earn cool mom points. So here we are. The fourth and final week of our Summer at the Movies series, and we're going to take a look at Spider-Man Far From Home. Now, in order to catch you up to where Far From Home begins, we're going to have to take a super fast tour through some of the Marvel movies leading up to it. But first, let's pray. Father God, we just invite you into this space today. Open our hearts, open our minds to hear whatever it is we need to hear, God. Whether it's from the message, from prayer, from worship, from a neighbor, God, just open our hearts to hear you and to feel you and to help us move closer to you. God, we celebrate so much in your name for Anna Sank coming home after a pretty scary fall off her bike last week and being in the hospital for several days. We're so thankful she's home, she's healing, and while she's on restricted summer activity, God, we just praise you for her healing. And we just lift Sherry and Jeff and the Sank family to you in celebration. And God, we celebrate today first-time parents Tim and Kelly Wassmer and the birth of their baby girl, Emerson Max. God, we just thank you so much for new life. And we thank you for this church body who will help Emmy walk with you and get to know you and someday make the choice to follow you, God. We thank you so much. And God, we celebrate our students who just spent a week in the Dominican Republic serving you, being your hands and feet, and just doing ministry in the field on hot, hot days that were so long. We thank you for their stories. We thank you for just the love that they had towards one another. And we thank you for the leaders who gave their time and energy to just walk with these students as they served you. And God, at this time, we just lift Jim Caslow to you. As he is still in the hospital, God, we just ask for peace in his heart, peace and calm to know that you are the provider in all of this. And tomorrow, God, we just ask that his pacemaker procedure sticks and goes well so that him and Barb can go home and rest and recover. And God, we lift whatever it is that's on our hearts today to you in silent prayer. In your name we pray. Amen. So here we are, Spider-Man Far From Home. And up to this point, we see our hero, Peter Parker, battle Avengers. He becomes an Avenger. He, travels the universe. He dies. And he does all this before his senior year of high school. That's pretty impressive, right? So we have to figure out where we are in Far From Home. So in order to do that, two movies prior from Far From Home, there's this guy, his name's Thanos, and he is the ultimate in bad guys, and he achieves his lifelong dream of wiping out half the universe. Well, Peter and his friends are included in those who are wiped out. But no worries, because in Marvel Avengers Endgame, Peter gets revived just in time to help save the day and see Tony Stark, his mentor and hero, otherwise known as Iron Man, die. And now he's going on this European vacation with all of his friends who haven't aged, so apparently they died as well. Are you all caught up? All right, that's 23 movies all rolled into like three sentences. And I know there's Marvel fans out there who are like, but you missed this and you missed that. Listen, in order to understand this message today, you don't have to know all the Marvel movies. You'll be just fine. So in Spider-Man Far From Home, Peter goes on all of these adventures. And he's trying to vacation in Europe. Meanwhile, he's battling the elementals, and he's saving the world from mass destruction. And he does some really cool stuff, and it makes for a really good movie. But what is Spider-Man really about? You see, it's all about Peter Parker and who he's gifted to be. And then him trying to figure that out throughout the film. And as I watched Spider-Man Far From Home, Peter Parker reminded me of Peter the Apostle in the Bible. You see, Peter in the Bible was outspoken and brash. He was putting his foot in his mouth all the time. And he was trying to figure out who he was. But Jesus never gave up on Peter in the Bible. He doesn't turn his back on him. And Peter ultimately goes on to figure out who he's called to be and then goes on to lead thousands to Christ. And so today I wanted to set up some time for us to talk about four similarities between Peter in the movie and Peter in the Bible. So let's take a look at how these two Peters are similar. Both Peter Parker and Peter in the Bible were impulsive. So in Spider-Man, Far From Home, Peter and MJ are walking along the sidewalk in Venice, and all of a sudden some water starts bubbling up from the ground. Well, here, take a look at this clip, and I'll show you what I mean.
Whoa, cool.
What is that?
I don't know.
What are you gonna do?
I left my suit in the hotel room.
Why?
I'm on vacation, Ned. Everyone's gonna see my face. Just get them out of here.
Go, Ned!
Just go! No, no, you don't.
You okay?
Leading up to that, Peter gets like his spidey tingle, and instead of like consulting anyone or thinking about anything, he just reacts. And I love that the first thing he does is he throws his web at this giant water element. Like, that's gonna do anything. But that's Peter Parker. He responds first and then thinks. That's where Peter in the Bible is so my guy. He's impulsive too. He doesn't think, he reacts. And sometimes Peter's impulsivity creates a bit of tension between Peter and Jesus. For example, in John 18, 8 through 11, Peter and Jesus are in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas has just shown up with Roman soldiers, high priests, and other officials. And it says in the Bible, Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. Jesus commanded Peter, Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? I love that. Peter doesn't think. He reacts. He draws his sword, cuts off the ear, and there's Jesus, automatically scolding him. And so for me, I just got to thinking of my own life, and I may have never drawn my sword and cut anyone's ear off, but how many times have I reacted without thinking? And how many times has my impulsivity caused tension, upset, or disconnect with other people? Here, let me give you an illustration. Now, those of you that know me, I probably have like a treasure trove of illustrations of my impulsivity, but for today, I'll give you this one. My daughter was 4 years old, and she was playing on a Farmington YMCA soccer league. And so, you know, all the parents are lined up in their lawn chairs, and we're so excited, and they're so cute. And my daughter wasn't there for soccer. She was there to pick dandelions, but she was adorable anyway. And if you know me, you know I am super social. And Kelly had made a little friend out on the field. I was so excited to discover that her mother was sitting right next to us. So, of course, I turn to her and say, "Oh, she is so cute. What's her name?" And the mother says, "Kendall." Without even thinking, without even hesitating, I turn to her and I say, "Oh, we were going to name our daughter Kendall, but our last name is Jackson. You can't ever name your child Kendall Jackson. That's a whine. Who does that? Who names their kid Kendall Jackson?" I think some of you are catching on to where this went. She looks at me, sweet, sweet mother of Kendall, and says, "That's our last name." Yes, that's me. I promise. So I am mortified. And listen, if Kendall Jackson's hearing this or Kendall Jackson's mom is hearing this, I am so sorry. I feel horrible. Still to this day, and this was 8 years ago. But I am mortified. I want to like crawl under my chair. So I turn to my beloved husband and I say to him, "Help me." Now, if any of you know my husband, and some of you are laughing like you know where this is going, he looks at me and I swear tears were coming out of his eyes. He was laughing so hard. I think he said, "No, babe, you're on your own." You see, I can relate to Peter in the Bible because I'm impulsive too. Like Peter, I often react and then think. So let's take a look at another way that both Peter and Peter in the Bible are similar. You see, they both had these moments of doubt. Throughout the film, we see Peter Parker struggling with what his calling is. In one clip, we see him and Mysterio having this heart-to-heart conversation about what he's supposed to do with his life. In another clip, we see him and Happy Hogan really talking about what would Iron Man want for Peter if Iron Man was here. In this clip, we see Nick Fury trying his best to convince Spider-Man that he's the one to save the world from the destruction caused by the elementals. Let's take a look.
"This is Mr. Beck.
You handled yourself well out there today. Saw what you did with the tower.
Thanks.
They were born in stable orbits within black holes, creatures formed from the primary elements. Air, water, fire, earth. The science division had a technical name. We just called them elementals.
Versions of them exist across our mythologies.
Turns out the myths are real.
Like Thor. Thor was a myth, and now I study him in my physics class.
These myths are threats.
They first materialized on my Earth many years ago. I was part of the last battalion left trying to stop them. All we did was delay the inevitable.
The elementals are here now, attacking the same coordinates. Our satellites confirm it.
We have one mission. Kill it. And you're coming with us.
Mr. Fury, this all seems like big time. You know, huge superhero kind of stuff. And, I mean, I'm just a friendly..."
He goes on to say, "I'm just your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man," right? So he has this doubt. He does not believe that he's qualified or gifted to be the next Iron Man. And then when we look at Peter in the Bible, Peter at times showed a lack of faith as well. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, we see an example of Peter doubting Jesus when Jesus told Peter to come. It says, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" There's Peter doubting Jesus, and Jesus, again, that tension between the two. You see, Peter's moments of doubt resonate with me because I know I've had moments where I've taken my eyes off of Jesus and where I let the fear of the wind take over me, just like Peter did in Matthew 14. So we've taken a look at how both Peters were impulsive and both Peters had moments of doubt. The third way that both Peters are similar is they had a little arrogance to them. So let's look at an illustration from the clip from a clip from Spider-Man.
You gonna be the next Iron Man now?
Well, no, I don't have time. I'm too busy doing your job.
What?
I'm kidding, I'm kidding. Look, keep up the good work. Because I am going on vacation.
He's going on vacation, right? So, okay, I know there are some of you out there that was like, "Hey, that wasn't in the movie." And you're right, it actually didn't get into the movie. However, I think it was in all the trailers, and so I had to use it as a great illustration of Peter Parker's arrogance, right? Here is this high school student telling the police, I can't do Iron Man's job, I'm too busy doing your job. And then there's Peter, disciple of Jesus. In Matthew 26, I love the scene. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Jesus declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. I love this text so much. Can you picture Peter sitting there, holier than thou? I mean, he's so insistent. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." Here's Peter's arrogance in full form to Jesus, no less. So it reminds me of this time that I went through the interview process here for this role, and the interviewers are asking me like about my qualifications. And at the time I was PTA president at my girls' school, and I did a lot of recruiting. So this one woman asks me, "Well, how do you feel about recruiting? You have to recruit for Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and VBS and all the kids' programming that we do." And I looked at her and I'm thinking, I do this all the time. No problem. I lean back and I confidently, probably too confidently, say to her, "Recruiting? No problem. Hey, this is my shameless plug. So Monday was my 4-year anniversary here. You want to know the hardest part of my job? Recruiting!" God humbled me so much in that moment that for the past 4 years, I have learned, Laura, calm yourself. Like, let's not let arrogance get the best of you. And so listen, if you want to make a difference in the lives of children 90 minutes a week, once or twice a month, put that on your connection card and we will help you get involved. But But like Peter, I too have had total moments of arrogance. So here's the thing. Well, both of them had these similarities that showed their brokenness and showed maybe some not so flattering things. Both of them went on to do great things. You know, Peter Parker saves the world from destruction at the hands of Mysterio, who actually turns out to be a Stark Enterprise disgruntled employee, and he accepts his fate as Spider-Man. And I know you're surprised in a Marvel movie, but it sets us up for the next action-packed Marvel movie, right? But more importantly, and what really matters, is the transformation of Peter in the Bible. You see, God goes on to transform this man from outspoken and bold to do great things in the name of Jesus. God took this ordinary fisherman who could be gruff, who could be impulsive, who could be arrogant, who could react before thinking. And God did great things with his life. He completely changed his life. See, Jesus knew what Peter's calling was. So much so that in Matthew 16:18, the Bible says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it." And Peter went on to build the church. And in Acts, we continue to read what Peter has done in the name of Jesus. He gives his first sermon, and thousands go on to believe. He heals and raises the dead. He goes on to write 2 books of the New Testament. Yes, 1st and 2nd Peter. Peter continues to transform into this man of God. And it leaves me asking this question today. That if God can take this impulsive, doubting, arrogant man and do great things with him, what can he do for you and me? See, I know that God can transform lives because it happened for me. And my story is not perfection. It is not free from sin. I still have sin and I still have brokenness. But hearing the story of Peter transformed my life. About 10 years ago, I was working in Vacation Bible School. I was downstairs in the VBX class. And for those of you who don't know, that's our 5th and 6th grade class. And that year, Pastor Justin was telling the Bible story. And so he would come down to our class every day and he would tell, help us learn the Bible, whatever the Bible message was for that day. And at the time, my family and I had been attending Faith for a few years. And my husband and I, prior to that, had been working our way back into church, back into a relationship with Jesus. But before that, I wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Alcohol, yes. Boys, absolutely. Parties, yes. But Jesus, no way. And I went to party after party and boy after boy, trying to find all this happiness that I heard about and this joy that I heard about. And you know what? I never found it. And I would come home and I would go to the next party thinking, oh, well, it's going to be this one and it's going to be this one. But I would go and I would just lie and create drama. I would cheat. I would hurt a lot of people. And sometimes that was a regular night for me. And so through a series of people in my life, God brought me back to church. And he started me on this path of healing. However, when I worked VBS during that year, that healing wasn't easy. And I carried around a lot of guilt and shame and a lot of hurt and baggage. And so I was at the point where I didn't know what to do and I didn't know how to follow Jesus. And I can remember sitting in service and I would hear all these messages like, Jesus loves you and he forgives you and he wants you to follow him. And I could never wrap my head around that. Why? Why? I was not living right with him. I was lying. I was hurting all these people. Why would he want me? I believe he wanted you and you and you, and he loved all of you, but not me. You see, I couldn't wrap my head around that. And then Pastor Justin started in about this Peter guy, and it totally changed my life. You see, in Matthew 26, we see Peter's arrogance coming through, but we also see that what Jesus said would happen, happened. In full Peter form, 69 through 75, Peter denies Jesus not once, but 3 times, just like Jesus predicted. Let's take a look. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You are here with Jesus of Galilee," she said, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. And then he went on to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while later, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. And then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Here's where my life changed. That was me. I would sit in service and I would weep at my shame. Peter wept bitterly at his shame for denying Jesus. And that's where my life changed. I could relate to Peter's arrogance and I could relate to his lack of faith and his impulsivity, but I was forever changed by what I heard that day. I heard that Jesus went on to forgive Peter. In my mind, that was like, what? Peter thought he knew it all. Peter totally did his own thing. How many times do we see that again and again? And so to me, Peter was a lost cause. But the Bible goes on to tell us that not only did he forgive Peter, but in John 21, 15 through 17, Jesus restored Peter. In other words, Jesus made Peter a leader of the church once again. It says in verse 15, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. You see, Jesus is asking Peter, who betrayed him, who doubted him, who was impulsive and arrogant, Jesus is asking Peter, the apostle, to feed and care for the people of God. Hearing that Jesus forgives was not something I understood or even something I related to, but I wanted to. Peter was this former failure that Jesus forgave and restored, and I learned that with Jesus, failure is not the end. So my hope and prayer for each of us here today is that, yeah, we hear of Peter's betrayal, but we hear of Jesus' forgiveness, and we know that it's offered to each one of us. Whether we're impulsive, whether we doubt, whether we're arrogant, whatever that is, whatever sin you're carrying on your shoulders, that you know that Jesus forgives. And I want to leave you with this, that if God can take this impulsive, doubting, arrogant man like Peter and transform his life, what can he do for us?